Preaching the good news, spiritually caring for believers. That is the mission of the church. And I don't know who wrote this, but this is good stuff. It says the twofold responsibility of preaching the good news, the gospel, of the kingdom of God, and of spiritually caring for the called out disciples of Jesus, teaching them to practice the same authentic truths he delivered to his first disciples, remains the commission of his church. This foundational guidance gives direction to the work of the church and identifies those involved as a continuation of the church he founded. So basically, we have to do what the first disciples did. We have to go and make disciples, and as a church, we are called to care for those who are part of the church. So it's kind of looking out, and it's also looking in. So that's what we're about. And now this morning, I'm going to try and talk about how this can be achievable. Okay? How are we going to achieve that? And what we could do is we could sit down and talk about programs. Stuart and Emma have been in the office as a wall planner that is on the wall, it comes off the wall, it goes on the wall, comes off the wall, simply because we don't have enough blue tack to keep it on the wall. But they sat down and, well, let's make some plans, let's do this, and let's have a length this, and let's have just on and on, you know, and we know what we're doing right up to Christmas, don't we?
About, yeah.
But, you see, this morning, I don't want to talk about programs. About doing things, I want to talk about what we have to be, okay, to achieve God's mission. And as always, you won't believe this, but there are three things I want to tell you. Three very important things about what we have to be together, okay? I didn't say you could put that up, Maggie. Do you like? I'll put it back, go on. I love the attendance at the top. 2, 2, 2. So you think you should become a mega church, Earl? Would you elaborate on that? Typical church meeting. Okay. So, how are we going to achieve? Yes? Because you see, Coca-Cola and Google, they sat around a table, didn't they? And they thought, how can we achieve this? How can we have missions there? How is it going to be achieved? And they have plans. But they probably never talk about the people involved and the kind of people they have to be to achieve the mission. And that's what I want to talk about, the people we have to be to see God's mission move forward. So let's have the first one, okay? And this is the first very important thing. Do you know, I was reading some stuff on what people put on their CVs. It's fascinating what people put on CVs. My wife could tell you lots of stories about what people put on their CVs. And people put their hobbies on CVs. What do you do in your spare time? Well, I like doing this. And here are some of the things that people put on their CVs. For example, extreme ironing. That's a genuine thing. And I Googled it, and there's this picture of a bloke in a stream with an ironing board, and he's doing this. I'm going, why would you do that? Why? Someone else put donating blood as a hobby, which is quite a good one. Frog dissection. Stalking celebrities. That's scary. Mooing. Apparently there's a place in America where people have competitions to see how well they can moo, whether they can moo like a cow. Okay? Cosplay. Who's heard of cosplay? Yeah, I see all you young ones. It's when people dress up and kind of walk around in costumes. I can't see anybody here this morning. Maybe we should have a cosplay Sunday morning. You can come as a character, so you can dress up as Superman or, you know, whoever. That's some people's hobbies, okay? Handcuff collecting. Ferret racing, and the list goes on. But you see, you wonder what drives people to do that kind of thing. And I can tell you a little word, which you could say, something they love. Because actually, when we are in love, we do strange things, don't we? Now, just a warning, guys, Friday is Valentine's Day, okay? You may have forgotten your anniversary. Here's a chance to get some more brownie points. And on Friday, people are going to do crazy stuff. They're going to go and buy things. They're going to go and, you know, make special dinners for their wives, hopefully. They're going to do all kinds of crazy things they wouldn't normally do because of love. And yet, when you think about it, what did God do? God did something really crazy, didn't he, because of love? Really crazy. That you would never, ever dream of. Giving up your child to save the world. To give up his son, because John 3:16 says, and if you don't know John 3:16, it's like one of the most important verses in the Bible. You don't see it at football matches anymore, do you? There used to be placards, John 3:16. For God so loved the world. Okay, we'll stop there because you might struggle with the rest. That he gave his only son. And so here we have a God who loves us this much. And you know, his expectation is that we would be people who love others. And the verse I put up there is taken from 2 Corinthians 5, where Paul was talking about what drove him as an individual to go and share the gospel. And he says, God's love compels me. It pushes me forward. It literally shoves me forward. And when you look at what he went through, you would realize how he was driven forward by the love of God. We find this in 2 Corinthians. He says, 5 times I received from the Jews the 40 lashes minus one. Okay? So to be beaten, to be whipped. 3 times I was beaten with rods. Obviously something different. 1 time I was stoned. And you have to say literally stoned, not in your head. Okay? 3 times I was shipwrecked. I spent a night and a day in an open sea. He said, I was constantly on the move. I had been in danger from rivers, bandits, my own countrymen, Gentiles, in the city, in the country, at sea, from false brothers. I have labored and toiled and often gone without sleep. I have known hunger and thirst and have gone without food. I have been cold and naked. Besides everything else, I face daily the pressure of my concern for all the churches. And here is a man who says, I am compelled by the love of God to go and share the gospel, and he's saying, I've been through all this because I am so in love with God, I am so in love with people, and I am so in love with the gospel that I will do anything, I will give my all to go and show love to people, compelled by the love of God. Do you know, I think what the Bible says is that because we have been loved by God, the expectation on every single one of us is that we'll be loving people. Now, maybe this is a hard question for you to answer. As people look at you, as people get into your life, a circle of friends and family, do you think they would see you as a loving person? Do you think they would say, actually, yeah, they're lovely to be with. You just kind of feel at ease with them. You can know that they kind of love you. Do you feel that? Or do you kind of look at your life and think, well, actually, I'm not that loving. It says in 1 John 3, how great is the love the Father has lavished on us that we should be called children of God. So God has poured his love upon us. He is kind of, I love that word, lavish. Oh, yeah, he's so much. You know, have some more. Yeah, yeah. Top it up, have some more. Yeah. And, you know, the Bible goes on to talk about how God has loved us and how we should love one another. If you're making notes, I can just tell you, let's just give you a few. 1 John 3, verse 1. 1 John 3, verse 16 to 18. 1 Peter 4, verse 8. 1 John 3, 23. You can't write this fast, can you? 1 John 4, 7, listen to it online. 7, verse 12. 1 Corinthians 16, verses 14. 1 John 4, 20. And it all sums up by saying, because you are loved, you should be loving. And you go, okay. Now I know what I've got to do. I've got to be loving. Okay? That's dead easy, isn't it? Sometimes, with nice people, it's easy. Sometimes with difficult people, it's not quite so good. Yeah. But you know what? I just want to read this verse, because this came out of our Holy Spirit stuff with the young people. It's a verse found in Romans 5, verse 5. It says this, "And hope does not disappoint us, because God has poured his love into our hearts by the Holy Spirit whom he's given us." So actually, for you to be loving, you just need to allow God to work in your life. Yeah. And then you will feel different and you will be different. And the Youth Alpha stuff, which I really enjoyed, was, and they said to them, basically, it's about plugging in to God. It's like your mobile phone. What's your signal like this morning? No, what's, yeah.
Not very good.
Not very good. It's kind of connecting to God. The more we connect, the more we will know the love of God. And God says he has poured his Spirit into our hearts. That's amazing, isn't it? Let's just stop. Isn't that amazing? You should be a different person today because of the love of God that's been poured into your heart. And the natural thing is when God pours his love into you, it should flow out to others. Wow. You see, if we're a church on mission, if we're filled with the love of God, boy, we are going to be so different, aren't we? Do you know, it's been a real privilege to have the winter nightlight shelter here.
Yeah.
I can say I personally haven't been involved, but those people who have, I just want to praise them this morning. Because actually they've been involved and they've shown the love of God to these guys and to these women. And I know you're not allowed to be proud, okay? It's a sin, okay? But I'm very proud to be pastor of a church where so many people from the church have actually got involved and are showing the love of God to people in a very practical way.
Yeah.
I think that's just wonderful. And what the great thing is when you talk to the people who run the night shelter here, they say they love coming here. And I don't know if it's because of the such nice facilities or actually because of the welcome they receive and the people around just show them God's love. Mm. Love, that's a song, isn't it? Love changes everything.
Yeah.
No, I'm not singing it. But it does. And if the church was to a place of love, then people wouldn't be able to stay away. If your life was filled with the love of God, you'd be like a magnet to other people because they would know that what they get from you is love and acceptance. Do you know, we were going to sing at this point, but I'm not going to sing. Not personally, but we're going to have a kind of a song maybe as a congregation. But what I wanted to do is just pray. Okay? If we did a show of hands and just did a hands up, who wants to be filled with the love of God this morning? I'm sure some of you put your hands up. Because actually, inside, maybe you don't feel that love. I'm not going to do that. But what I want to do is I want to pray for us that the Spirit of God would just fill us today with his love and would change us from the inside out. That through our very pores of our body, people would experience the love of God. Let's pray, shall we? Let's just have a moment where we just are still. Father, thank you that your word says that you lavish your love upon us. And Father, we thank you for that great truth. And we pray this morning in Jesus' name that we would experience that love within our hearts. Lord, for each one of us, Lord, I want to pray that you just fill us today through your Spirit. May you pour your love into our hearts. Spirit of God, just come. Fill up that dry place, that empty place. Fill us to overflowing, that your love would pour from us and would pour into the world around us and touch the people you have placed close to us. Holy Spirit, just come. Amen. So we've got to move on, because you're not going to get all three if I'm not careful. Connected to loving, okay, is number two. Oh, my goodness. Be completely united. Oh, my goodness. We're all going to have to hold hands or something like that. Well, that's a good idea, isn't it? No. Okay. You see, actually, this was the prayer of Jesus. I and them and you and me, may they be brought to complete unity. Okay? To let the world know that you sent me and have loved them even as you have loved me. So, Jesus kind of praying this. He's thinking about people who are to come after his disciples. And he's saying, actually, Lord, I want you, Father, I want you to make them completely united. Okay? Now, perhaps what we should do is we should think about how united we are as a church. We could do that on a scale of 1 to 10, couldn't we? Or we could do percentages. Are we 10% united? Are we 20% united? Are we 30%? Even if we got to 60%, that's a pass, isn't it? I wish I got 60% of my GCSEs. But actually, what Jesus is saying, it's not enough. Actually, what he's praying for is that we become completely united. And I don't really want to kind of go over what you said a few weeks ago about the early church, how they were united, but they were. And that was a very powerful thing for the people around them. They saw the church in action as one body, and they cared for everyone who was part of the church. Paul goes on in Ephesians to talk about this unity, and he says this: as a prisoner for the Lord, I urge you to live a life worthy of your calling you have received. Be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. Okay. Here we go again. That's very challenging, isn't it? Because what he's saying to the people in Ephesus is actually, I want you to be completely united. I want you to actually make the effort to become united together as the people of God. Because we kind of come to church, don't we? And we just think it's going to happen. Because you love Jesus and I love Jesus. Well, we're united, aren't we? But are we? Are we? Because what I sense from Scripture is actually what Jesus wants, is he wants unity for a purpose. He just wants us to feel good about each other. He wants us to be united so that we can be sent out by God. Completely united, standing together as one. Do you know what? I suppose I think of teams when I think about unity. And actually, for me, this has been a good season. Seasons recently haven't been so good. But when Liverpool are the top of the Premiership, 22 points clear of any other team, and the team who are like fifth, they've got like twice as many points as the team who are fifth. That is an awesome season, isn't it, Phil? It is. Phil and I, we're celebrating. You don't see it, but we are on the inside. What a team. And they start talking about, this is the best team since da-da-da-da. This is this, and they're breaking all the records, and how great it is they are a team. And they are a team. Because when you look at it, they've got the people, you know, everybody talks about Mo Salah. Well, it's not about Mo Salah. When you look at throughout the team, there is strength. And when they play together, you kind of see. Is that a note from Mickey at the back? But when you see them play together, they are absolutely awesome. I have to say that, don't I? Because they are united as a team. And for me, I think, you know, isn't that what God wants for his church? To be a team who are united in purpose. Because actually, when we are united, we are so much stronger. Just think about praying, okay? Because you all pray, don't you? I presume you do. You pray. So when you pray on your own, it's good, isn't it? You know, you have that sense. When there's a situation, when you're praying on your own, isn't it better to have a group of people around you together in prayer? That's why we send out those emails, please pray, please pray. And if you've got stuff in your life, please tell us. No, we'd love to send them out and get people praying. Because there is strength when we stand together, when we minister together. Yeah. The other thing is, when we stand together as team, everybody's gifts gets on board. Now, you are a gifted person, okay? Yes? You go, no, I'm not. I can't do this. I can't do that. Let's just think about it. God is giving you gifts. You see, when you get involved, when you are united, when you're part of the team, then your gift comes on board and it gets used by God. And it adds to what we have. And then lastly, the other thing that unity brings is unity brings blessing. Amen?
Yeah.
Who likes blessing?
Come on.
Yeah. Three of you? Fantastic. It's good, blessing. Well done, Josh. I'd like to see the hand up. Because it calls, when people stand together in unity, there is the blessing of God upon it.
Yeah.
Because we're functioning as God wants us to. We are fulfilling the prayers of Jesus. So I want to say to you, get involved.
Yeah.
Use your gift, but most of all, get connected with other people.
Yeah.
Why don't you, as a little exercise, when you go home, please don't forget this, why don't you do something to create some unity? Why don't you take some effort to maybe email somebody or send them a text and just say, bless you, thank you for your service. Why don't you give somebody a gift? But do something to create more unity.
Yeah.
Because what Paul says in Ephesians, make every effort, do something.
Yeah.
Do something.
Yeah.
Okay, last point. Be the church. Now, this is... See, when you go Google... No, when you go to the BBC website, when you look up the church, do you know what you actually get to see? You get to see how the church is a terrible place. Did you know that? I'll tell you what I found on the BBC website. Let's just see if I can find it on my iPad. Okay. Sex scandal in the Church of England. Okay. What else have we got? Conned by my church. The Salvation Proclaimers Anointed Church. Church of England ruling on LGBTQ+. The ancient church buildings. Do you know, nothing on the BBC website actually talks about what the church is doing today. It doesn't say that the church provides probably the most youth work in our country. It doesn't say that the church provides most of the child, parent and toddler groups within our country. It doesn't say the hours and hours and hours of volunteer time that the church gives to food bank, to debt counselling, to charity work. It doesn't say anything like that. It just tells you how bad the church is. And the problem is that as a church, we start to believe the press.
Yeah.
That the church is weak, it's poor, it's kind of full of hypocrites, it's got... You know, it's into some kind of abuse. And we as the people of God suddenly feel downtrodden. The church is a terrible place. But I want to tell you some good news. When Jesus came up with the idea of the church, he said, this is a good thing. And he has called us to something very powerful, something very exciting, something that is world-changing. Bill Hybels, bless him, would always say, the church is the hope of the world. Because if you put your hope anywhere else, it ain't going to happen. But the church is the hope of the world. And what we need to realize is that Jesus came up with the idea of church, and it's a good thing. What did he say? He said, I tell you, Peter, and on this rock, so Peter's statement, I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not overcome it. So what he's saying is basically the church could go through hell, but it's not going to be broken. It is here to stay, and it is the hope of the world. And what we need to realize is the people of God, God has built his church and he's building his church, and this is the place where he has chosen to work, to send his spirit on you and me, because it's through us the world will be changed. Not through Coca-Cola. Not through IKEA. however inspiring that may be. Because we have the Spirit of God. We are people of the Spirit, and we are people who have the love of God within us. And hopefully we are the people who stand united in mission together. And what we need to realize is that God has built his church, will continue to build his church, and we are called to be part of it. And it is nothing to be ashamed of. So on Monday morning when people say, what did you do at the weekend? You can say, oh, I went to church. And they must have said, well, that must have been very depressing. You know, say it was brilliant. Because we worship God together. We experienced the power of God's Spirit. We were led in worship by a great team. We had Stuart getting us doing shackles. It was great. You should come along and try it. Because actually, church is life-changing stuff. Do you get that? Church is an awesome place. And yet so often it gets downtrodden. And people write us off. But do you know what? When the Holy Spirit came on the day of Pentecost, the world was turned upside down. We've probably got similar number of people in church today. We could turn the world upside down. If we believe, if we have faith, if we go in Jesus' name, if we are united, compelled by his love, we could turn this town upside down. So let's not put ourselves down, but let's rise up to who God has made us and who God wants us to be. I love the verse at the top. His intent was that now, through the church, the manifold wisdom of God should be made known to the rulers and authorities in the heavenly realms. Do you know what? The devil is frightened of the church. He's frightened of you when you get serious with God. And my prayer is that we will realize what we can achieve through the Spirit of God, through faith, through the love of God. And we will go in the Jesus' name, and we will fulfill the mission he has called us to. Amen. Amen.